In our previous episode, we covered the Committee of 300 and what role they play. Today, we're going to expose how they're controlling the drug epidemic. Here's part two of The Deep State on the Edge of Wonder.
Since our last QAnon videos, we've been getting a lot of comments from you guys asking us for more, but we didn't want to make them just for the sake of making them, since there are already a lot of great channels doing this already.
So we decided we wanted to really dive deep and start breaking down what exactly makes the deep state who they are and what their goal is.
In our last episode, we went into detail on who the Committee of 300 is and all the methods they are using to depopulate the human race by way of eugenics and for what reason.
In this episode, we're going to get way more in depth on the drug epidemic and how this directly relates to our modern culture, especially with music. So if you haven't watched our previous one, it would probably be better since we already talked about the Committee of 300.
Okay, we explained eugenics and why they use it. We also introduced the book called Conspirators' Hierarchy, the story of the Committee of the 300 by Dr. John Coleman, which we found on the CIA website.
But since we went into detail about it on our last one, we won't really go into the background of it. But in a nutshell, he worked for the British intelligence in the 1980s and had access to very top secret documents and wrote an entire series on this. And it's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Like, read it.
It's crazy.
It takes forever, but whoa, worth it.
We'll put the link below for sure. So QAnon has been leaving a lot of crumbs or clues on a lot of conspiracies that are really starting to fall in place once you start really diving deep into this.
And boy, have we dived deep. Just when we thought we were at the end of a rabbit hole, we realized how much deeper and deeper it goes. The scariest part that we found was how perfectly everything ties in together, and it can all relate back to the Committee of 300 and the bloodline of the 13 families. But that's going to be in our next episode, so keep watching for those episodes.
Right, because we thought we'd just do a couple episodes on this, but now this is turning into an entire series. But since many of QAnon posts are hard to decipher if you're not really following it all the time, we thought we would start breaking some of this down for you guys.
So half of Coleman's books talks about the drug trade, how it all works, who is behind it, and how they're all doing this.
Of course, we all know that Britain got all of China hooked on opium. China had tea, so they started to trade opium with tea, and soon the British took over Hong Kong Harbor and made it easier to trade.
But what most people don't know is that it wasn't to trade tea. It was for trading opium. Soon China had very strict drug rules and then started to produce it themselves. The 300 then saw what a lucrative business it was and started to sell it to other countries and make deals with others.
Fast forward about 100 years, and the Rothschilds developed a super elaborate system in which they controlled all the banks, including the IMF, the Federal Reserve, which is what our Titanic video was about, and started to make deals with other world banks. And get this, yes, here's a Q post that lists all the 167 world banks that the Rothschilds own, including the IRS.
Oh, and they're in charge of the Fed too, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
They own the money. But Hong Kong was the place where the trades were happening, and they've been trading gold for opium, which was priceless to the 300. There were some disagreements that broke out, but soon everyone realized how much money could be made.
And after about a few more decades, now you have a global operation with multiple countries all taking part, according to Coleman. Mainstream companies are the ones which were set up to help distribute, collect the funds, and to help make transactions easier from country to country.
Coleman mentions that a major credit card company was, and possibly still is, handling all of the laundering drug money coming into the 300, but we're choosing not to name it here. Now, this was in the 90s, but Coleman really was questioning how a company could produce their own traveler's checks that wasn't through a government.
Also, what happened in the 70s was that the gold standard was eliminated, so gold was no longer backing the paper money anymore. This devaluated the money even more. But according to Coleman, most drugs are being traded with, and especially in Hong Kong, through gold, which is why today gold is still important to China.
Coleman even stated that in the 90s, the price of gold per kilo was on par with the price of heroin. However, now it's even more insane. The price of gold per kilo is about $40,000. The price of heroin or fentanyl, which is coming out of China, is about $50,000 to $100,000, according to drugwarfacts.org. I mean, that means heroin is worth more than gold.
That's just insane. So you guys might be wondering how they are sending it here to the US, which is the largest market of heroin. So, according to Coleman and some other insiders, such as William Cooper, who wrote Behold a Pale Horse, you have the same person who is managing the heroin trade also make the laws against it.
So Tom Cruise's movie, American Made, which if you haven't seen, you should probably check out, was about how the CIA was bringing drugs into the country and distributing on a massive scale. So after Reagan, William Cooper said the Bush family perfected the mass distribution behind the drug trade.
Coleman said that Bush was just a servant for the 300 to fulfill their desires. On the surface, the FDA and Border Police were trying to crack down on this, but everything they were doing wasn't even making a dent in the overall situation.
Coleman hinted at the wars in the Middle East being over big oil and the opium fields. QAnon also had a very long post which related a lot of stuff but linked Saudi Arabia to the Bush family, to 9/11, to oil fields, Iraq, and the Halliburton.
Also, the FBI and the DEA cracked down on a small scale, but most are either over their heads or paid off when it comes to the big stuff, or just end up being out of their jurisdiction, which is why none of the drugs are grown here for mass distribution.
According to Coleman, though, to get this much heroin through on cargo ships and trucks, you need an international company that can disguise as a legitimate business. So according to Coleman, this is where Triangle International Routier Company comes in, and I butchered that, I'm sure. And I'm sure you can guess where this company is from.
Geneva.
So when I was with the Texas Border Patrol reporting last year, they were saying that they were overwhelmed by all of this. In 2014, the Border Patrol arrested over 700,000 illegal aliens, but that's just the number they caught. They said the number was like probably even twice as much who actually came through. And they only confiscated about $5 million in drugs.
$5 million is like such a joke. I mean, that's a drop in the ocean. It's like nothing. Also, in today's world, many people are now saying that the Committee of 300 wants the MS-13 gang to create chaos here in our country with killing, satanic worshiping, and drugs. Some say they're doing the hands-on dirty work for the cabal.
So we know that there is a ton of controversy around this, but this is one of the main reasons why Trump wants to build a wall. It is actually cutting the source of the main flow of funds to the deep state, along with the MS-13 gang and now child prostitution and child trafficking. In fact, when girls come over to the border, no matter what age they are, they will all get raped at least 5 times by the cartels who control the Mexican side of the borders. I actually saw one of their compounds while we were there.
Yeah, so this is why the cabal hates Trump. They want to keep their inflow coming. Coleman talks about how all of the recent wars were over drugs and, you know, that China, Mexico, Afghanistan, and Lisbon has been supplying heroin with 300 getting a huge cut. He said that the Rockefellers had or still have a facility in Switzerland which they were making LSD in the 70s for $3 a kilo and selling it for $20,000. Do you know how much money that is?
That's like trillions when you think about a whole year.
The Edge of Wonder.
How to market illegal drugs to the mainstream. So a lot of the police chiefs I've personally spoken with while in the media couldn't figure out why the dealers are killing their users. But now after doing this show, Rob and I finally understand. It's all about eugenics and depopulation, while at the same time they're getting filthy rich.
Yeah, so for the cabal, this is like a win-win situation for them. Make trillions of dollars while depopulating the useless eaters to pave the way for their so-called one world government where everyone is serving them.
So let's digress a bit. The culture in the 50s and 60s were so different. Back then, most American values were very high and drug abuse was very much looked down upon in society. There was a huge focus on family values and sexual freedom was definitely not part of their culture. So how do you get an entire society thinking doing drugs is cool and rebel against their parents and make sex a cultural acceptance?
So Tavistock came along and realized that the youth is the place to start. So they started to devise a plan in which, using Coleman's words here, quote, turn them into mindless drug zombies who will be easier to control than people who don't need drugs, unquote.
Now this is the part in the plan that seemed really hard to grasp. According to Coleman, The committee realized how much the entertainment industry can influence and reshape our culture. So Tavistock started to devise a sinister plot to get everyone doing drugs, rebelling against society, having wild, crazy sex, and also destroying the family at the same time.
Now, because the committee already owned all of the media companies, they realized they would promote this everywhere. On radio, TV stations, every day, nonstop, forcing people to love it. All they needed now is something to promote. So they found four guys who were already playing in Liverpool and decided to use them for their agenda.
And thus, the Beatlemania was born. Tavistock used them from the start with the intention of degenerating society even further. However, Coleman mentions that the Fab Four might have never known that they were even being used for this purpose, but Tavistock also needed an entire culture change.
So Coleman claims Tavistock coined words which seemingly came out of nowhere to go along with their newfound plot, such as beatniks, hippies, flower children, and popularized the word teenager, which all became part of the American vocabulary. It became cool to wear baggy clothes, dirty jeans, and go about with long, unwashed hair, you know, everything they say about hippies, basically.
So now that the stage was set, they just needed to have a hidden meaning in their lyrics that teenagers would get, but parents might not. So, with a little help from their friends, Coleman said that Tavistock hired Theodore Adorno, who went to the Frankfurt School and studied Western Marxism, to secretly write almost all of the lyrics for the Beatles to promote the degeneration of our culture and mix drug references in the lyrics to make it cool now to use drugs.
So the excuse became the older generation was now old-fashioned and not keeping up with the changing times of the new era. This later became a part of the culture as other acts were then added, such as the Rolling Stones and the rest of the British invasion, leading up to even the music today. I know, it's hard to swallow. We're just telling you what we read.
Yes. Yeah, that's very true. Also, some of the people on the cover of Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's album include Karl Marx, Aleister Crowley, who is the precursor of the Church of Satan and wrote the book on how to summon demons, and Aldous Huxley, who wrote A Brave New World. And it's said by Coleman to be the committee's high priest who helped make LSD popular in society.
So soon a radical revolution was born as millions upon millions of people all started to do drugs, wear baggy clothes, trendy clothes, rebelling against their parents, all while mainstream media were promoting this cultural phenomena in our society and nonstop.
So the committee was now making a killing on selling LSD on a massive scale, making a ton through promoting the bands, and soon realized they can replicate this movement through other forms and mediums.
So do y'all see how we're their monkeys? So you guys, we know this is super intense, and of course, this is only Coleman's account, but if you really look into what's happening today and who's controlling the music industry and Hollywood, it's shocking. We did a video on the Illuminati controlling Hollywood, but since we did that video, so much more has now been coming to the surface.
Also, we've been told by someone who played with some very famous people that everyone in the industry who wants to make it is forced to go to these pretty much these high-end parties, and they have to gauge with a lot of sex and drugs and then promote this in their persona in public.
So we're trying to work on getting one of these people on our show, but this stuff gets very sensitive, so we're not sure if this will ever happen. But in any case, you can for sure find a lot more of these stories coming out, especially with the pedo stuff now hitting the surface.
Also, each era had a new drug. Like in the 70s, it was LSD, in the 80s, it was cocaine, in the 90s, it was ecstasy in the rave scene, which I'm not even gonna go into, and then in the 2000s, it was heroin, and then now it is fentanyl.
And I wanna hear Ben's stories about raving.
Oh man, I'm sure my old friends would be more than willing to share those stories, but I'm not gonna go there.
Hello?
To me, that was like literally like a lifetime ago.
All right, so anyway, getting back to fentanyl, what is crazy is that OxyContin is what's getting everyone addicted, which are both actually made from the opium plant. OxyContin is highly addictive when people run out.
Well, they resort to the street drugs since they need a prescription for it. Many organizations are trying to get it banned, and the insurance company Cigna actually stopped covering it. Big Pharma is another huge beast that Trump is fighting against, and man, that's a whole other episode on its own. So.
In our next episode, we're gonna get into who these 13 families are, what they control, and what their ultimate goal is. And let me tell you guys, it's gonna get as nuts can get.
That's for sure. Also, the more we researched, the more we found everything seems to be connected, which is super frightening because once you start seeing patterns and connections, I mean, this just makes it so much more real.
Yeah, like you research something over here and see how it connects with something over there, and then it has a connection to this other person you were researching, and this whole entire web starts to take shape.
It's like, whoa. Yeah. Exactly. Well, guys, we'll be making a few more of these because this is just a tiny part of the centuries-year-old plan. But please hit like and subscribe for more great content.
Also, don't forget to hit the notification bell. So until next time, we'll see you guys out
on the edge
of the Illumidonkey.
Hey everyone, have you been enjoying Edge of Wonder? Do you want to help us keep creating new and exciting content every week? Now's your chance. Go to
edgeofwonder.nyc.
So guys, we just launched our own version of Patreon, our exclusive donation page where you can pledge monthly at a minimum of $1.50 a month.
But we'll have different tiers of subscription, which will have different offerings depending on how much you pledge. And we want to keep focusing on making great content for you guys and grow it into something that you guys will love. So where is it?
edgeofwonder.nyc.
Anyway, we love you guys and we'll see you out
on the edge.